If you will remember a couple of weeks ago, I preached, maybe 3 weeks ago now, but I preached on God the Source. And I told you we were going to be coming back to that, and God's laid it up on my heart again today. We're going to be looking at it in a different way than we did last time. But that's another thing we really need to get a concept of, is that God is the Source. And if you'll remember in that message, I started off with Genesis 1:1 that said, in the beginning, God, the Source, created the heavens and the earth. Now, the area that God has laid upon my heart to speak on today is something that I built the foundation on that day, and that is that Jesus is the source of salvation. And folks, He is the only source of salvation. And again, we really need to understand that, and if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're in the right place. And let me share this with you. I didn't say if you're here and you're new to church. We've got a lot of folks in the church that have been in church for years that have never really been saved. And I shared before with you about my brother. Was raised in church, active in church, did all the things in church that you were supposed to do, but was not saved until he was either 33 or 35 years old. And his case is not isolated. I've shared with you before that Billy Graham said he's convinced that 65% of the church is not saved. So even if you've been in this church your whole life, I want you to really think about this today. Now, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. If you know you're saved, you know you're saved. But if there's any doubt, you need to listen today very, very closely. I'm going to read several scriptures today because I really want us to get into our hearts what God has to say about this. And probably the most familiar verse of scripture in the entire Bible having to deal with salvation is John 3:16. We've heard it many times. But it says, for God, the source of salvation, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, the source of salvation, he so loved you that he gave his Son to come to this earth and to die on an overrated cross and to spend 3 days in the pits of hell that you might have life. But did you notice what that verse says? It says that whosoever believeth in him. Folks, if you don't believe in him, you have not been saved. If you have not believed in him, you will do what the rest of that verse says, that you will perish. But if you do believe in him, then you'll have the last part says, you will have everlasting life. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And like we talked about last time, you can also, whereby we can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus, the source of salvation, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the source of salvation. Jesus, if you notice, didn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, I'm one of the many different paths to the Father. And sometimes we as Christians get accused of being very narrow-minded. Well, folks, in this, we have to be very narrow-minded. There is only one way. You cannot get to the Father. You cannot be saved any other way than through Jesus Christ. When that's the only way, then you have to be narrow-minded. You have to stick to what is truth. And salvation is so easy and so simple. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God, the source of salvation, hath raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is so simple that a 6-year-old kid can understand that and be saved. I've seen a lot of kids at age 6, 5, 6, 7, and 8 that were saved. Folks, if this was complicated, they couldn't be saved. But it's very simple. We have to believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead and confess it with our mouth. And that's all there is to being saved. But we must realize that Jesus is the source of salvation. Baptism will not save you. Good works will not save you. And I've given this description before, but it is so good. And I praise God for giving it to me years ago. You know, just how good is so good? If it was based upon good works, how many good works would you have to do? What if you get to right here and you've done this many good works, but the line to be saved of good works is one more step? And who sets that standard? See, that doesn't even make sense, does it? We can't be saved by good works. We cannot even be saved by going to church. Now, we need to go to church. But we don't go to church to be saved. We go to church to serve and to worship God and to learn more about Him. And I like the way that Brother Larry talked about it in Master's Men this morning. We come here to get equipped so we can go out into the world and do the ministry that God has called us to do. But going to church cannot save you. Living a good moral life cannot save you. And I don't know how many people I talk to say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a good moral person. That has nothing to do with it. And I understand that they don't understand the Bible, that they're ignorant in that circumstance. But folks, good works has nothing to do with it. Good moral life has nothing to do with it. We all need a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is the source of salvation. You know, no other religion can save you. Islam cannot save you. Muhammad cannot save you. Buddha cannot save you. Hare Krishna cannot save you. And I was talking to a schoolmate of mine that I hadn't seen since high school. I was talking to him just the other day. And we were talking about all facets of life. And I said, well, where are you going to church now? And he said, well, Greg, you know, growing up, I was drugged to church all the time. We went every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And said, since I got out on my own, I created a God of my own that I can live with. I said, you've got to be kidding. You created a God of your own. Well, folks, that would scare me in the first place. If I created it, it means it's going to be imperfect. And I'm still talking to this guy, and I hope that he sees that there's a big problem with his created God, that his created God cannot help him here on earth, for one thing, and certainly cannot get him to heaven. We need to be very careful that we do not add to what the Bible has to say about being saved. And we do not try to change what the Bible has to say about being saved. The Bible makes it so clear that salvation is by grace through faith only. Salvation is by grace, and we talked just recently that grace is unmerited kindness or unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. And just like that song they sung a while ago, and Mike was talking about it, you know, we have been redeemed. We were nothing, and God took our nothingness and traded it for His Son's death, which was everything, and redeemed us back into the family of God. We need to be praising God that we have been redeemed. And it's through faith. And faith is absolute assurance and being absolutely persuaded that what God said in His Word, He will do. So when we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, we can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we have been saved because God said so. And the issue of salvation is way too important to be wrong. Now, we can be wrong in different issues in the Bible. But folks, this is one area you cannot be wrong. And of course, God makes it so simple and so clear that it's impossible to get it wrong. I heard a preacher say a while back, talking about John 3:16, he said, that's so simple that it takes a really good theologian to mess that up. And that's true. God makes it simple, and we need to make sure that our faith is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, because He is the source of salvation. And I tell you what really bothers me more than anything else when I'm talking to people, and this probably happens 9 times out of 10, So this is not a rare occurrence. It happens a majority of the time. I'm talking to somebody about salvation, and they say, well, yeah, I got baptized when I was 7, 8, 9 years old. And you know, it's very difficult to take their focus from baptism to salvation. And I always tell them, well, you know, being baptized is great. That is so important. But baptism will not save you. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Have you asked Him into your heart and asked Him to forgive you of your sins? And most of the time they'll keep going back and say, well, yeah, I got baptized. Folks, if you're relying on baptism, and that's all you're relying on, you are in trouble. Now, baptism is extremely important. You know that I believe completely in baptism, but it happens after salvation. It is a symbolic symbolism of what happened. You're showing the world, I was a sinner. I died to my sins, and I have been resurrected a brand new man in Christ. But baptism itself will not save you. If you are a lost person and you got baptized, all you are is a wet sinner. Nothing happened when you got baptized. So you need to make sure that that's not what happened in your life, that you did receive Jesus as your Savior. John 17 and verse 3 says, this is life eternal. So he's getting ready to give us a definition of what eternal life is. He says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus, the source of salvation, whom thou sent. John makes it so clear right there that eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus and believing in Him as our Savior. Did you notice I said nothing about baptism or good works or any of the other things that we mentioned? In 1 John chapter 5, written by the same man, he makes it clear again. He says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, the source of salvation, that you may know that you have eternal life. Folks, God wants us to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we're saved. And the way we can know is that we know we've got Jesus living in our heart. I don't remember the title of the song, but there's a song we used to sing. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And once He gets in your heart, you're going to know. When I was 8 years old and got saved, nobody had to tell me I was saved. I knew immediately I was saved. I felt a difference immediately. Does that mean I was the perfect kid from then on? No. Still not perfect. But I knew immediately that I was saved. And John tells us if we have the Son, we have eternal life. And if we don't have the Son, then we don't have eternal life. I heard a black lady one time, she put it as plain as it's ever been said. She said, talking about salvation, she said, you either is or you isn't. There ain't no other way. And I thought, that's just as good as it can be said. You either is or you isn't. So my question for you this morning is, do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're saved? Any shadow of a doubt. If you have any doubt in your heart and in your mind at all, you need to come down here and you need to make sure so that you can know that you've been saved. You need to make sure that you receive Jesus and the gift of His salvation. And some of you might be asking, well, why do I need to be saved? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. This is why we need to be saved. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody that's ever been saved, all the way from Adam, all the way up to this present time and until Jesus comes back again, everybody that's born, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has come short of God's glory. And guess what the standard is? God's glory is the standard. You might be a good moral person, but compared to God's glory, you're nothing. I'm nothing. The Bible says our righteousness is a filthy rag. We come very short when compared to God's glory. God demands holiness. God demands righteousness. And on our own, we cannot give that. And the reason we cannot give that is because Adam sinned and separated us from God. We have sinned and separated ourselves from God. And again, I really don't think we can comprehend, or we can, I really don't think we have comprehended what it means to be separated from God. We hear these words so frequently and so often. And the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. And we think, oh, you know, where we die. Well, that word death means separated from God. You don't have to wait till you physically die to be separated from God. You are already separated from God. Like we said earlier, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. But we've been separated from God. And the Bible tells us clearly that without God in our heart, without Jesus as our Savior, that we are on our way to eternal punishment in the devil's hell. Now, sometimes people say, well, God is a God of love. He could never send anybody to hell. Well, folks, He is a God of love. And He has made a way for us to be saved, and that way is Jesus Christ, the source of salvation. But He is also a God of holiness, and because He is a holy God, He demands, His holiness demands that our sin be paid for and punished in full. Now, Jesus has already paid your price. He's already suffered all of the punishment you would ever have to suffer. But you have to receive His payment. Or else you have to make the payment yourself. There's no need in you waiting another single day. The price has already been paid. Jesus has done all that He can to make sure that you can receive salvation. It's up to you today on whether you receive His gift of salvation and of eternal life, or you reject it. My invitation to you this morning is, like I said, if there's any doubt in your heart at all, that on the very first note that we sing, that you head for this altar and you make sure that you have Jesus Christ living in your heart and in your life, because if you don't, you are not saved, you are not on your way to heaven, you're on your way to an eternal hell, and it is not a good place, and there is no way out. After this morning, you can never say, well, I don't know. I didn't know how to be saved. You know how. We've already told you to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. And we'll show you those scriptures in the Bible and lead you in the sinner's prayer and help you in that. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before You, and I thank You so much for Your goodness, for Your kindness, and for Your mercy. I thank You for the salvation that You've given us through Jesus Christ, Your Son, and Father, that we can know, that we can have a know-so salvation, that we can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we're saved, and Father, that we can have peace and assurance in our heart, and that we can sleep at night, and that whatever happens to us, Father, we know that heaven is our home, and that we're going to spend eternity with You. God, I pray that if there's even one here today that does not know You as their Savior, they have any doubt at all, that You would surround them with Your Holy Spirit, and that through Your goodness and Your love and Your mercy, You would show them how much You love them. And You'd give them the courage to come this morning, Father, and to make their assurance of their salvation absolute. And we give You the praise for it, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.